In both photos, there's a purple orb on Dorothy's shoulder.
Really?
And Shannon sees it and she's like, oh, it's like a defect or something. You know, immediately right. She's thinking like, it's a mistake. So she goes and shows Dorothy and Dorothy goes, oh, that's Bob. And Shannon's like, what? Bob was Dorothy's deceased husband. And I guess sort of makes a habit of showing up in her photos next to her as a purple orb.
Wow. We invite you to join us on our hunt for all things spooky.
We're here for the tricks and the treats.
I'm Elise.
And I'm Haley.
And this is Easy Bake Coven. Hello.
Hello.
Happy podcast night.
I was like, I didn't know what you're about to say. I was like, happy. Oh my God, is it a holiday? Is it my birthday?
Every week with you is a holiday.
Every time I get to see your face, it's a celebration.
I feel the same.
It's been so long since I've last seen you.
Like 5 hours.
I FaceTimed Lisey earlier to tell her some true crime shit that we can't talk about on the podcast.
We say these little tidbits to like keep you guessing. Like, what are they talking about?
Did they kill a man? Ooh. Have they buried a body together? You'll never know.
We're smarter than to tell that on a podcast that millions of people listen to. Millions.
Yes, correct.
Don't laugh.
Millions one day may.
One
very
day.
Well may. Mm-hmm.
Cumulatively, after all the lessons over like 30 years.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
A girl can dream. A girl can dream.
What else do we have, my dearest?
Nothing.
Other than our dreams. How are you?
I'm good. I guess I should give a little update on my dad.
I'm good.
It's like shit has happened since then.
Yes. He's alive. Let's start with that at the top.
He is alive. Yes. Yes. He's out of the hospital. He has a sweet little fanny pack around his shoulder that has his antibiotics in it that feed him intravenously a few times a day. And he has to go get it refilled every single day, which sucks for him.
Wild.
But yeah, there was no heart damage, which was amazing. That was very lucky. And he seems to just be okay and on the mend. So it was a exhausting week. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm glad that's seemingly over. Mm-hmm. And almost all of our snow is gone, which is really exciting.
Exciting.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's how I am. How are you?
Good. Busy. Mm-hmm. It's reaching that time of year.
Isn't it amazing how summer just like ramps up? It's crazy.
Yep. I'm a t-ball mom, so I was helping out at t-ball practice and then like running home to try and get dinner made. And then I had a meeting at 7 for this like organization I volunteer with. And then I worked at 8 and then like had to get Russell down and, you know.
I'm yawning just thinking about it.
And I got my fucking script done, which
Satan came
in clutch and just gave me the inspiration I needed, / my meeting was over really quickly so I could put the finishing touches.
That was Satan's doing. He was like, let's cut this short.
Satan's like, there's not a lot of business to go over
You
tonight.
Felt the unholy spirit enter you and write for you.
Again and again, my friend.
Wow. Again and again.
Haley, stop making Dirty. Satan a horny thing. I don't know. I'm really tired.
Satan's totally a horny thing.
That's true. That's true. I mean, I didn't start.
Come on. It's Satan. Yeah. No, don't give yourself that much credit. What are we doing tonight? Because you told me it was going to be a really fun one. I'm excited.
Okay. So the idea for this episode came from an episode of Radio Rental that I listened to the other day.
Genius.
Some of you may remember that I mentioned I've been listening to this podcast with my son, which is a horrible idea because now he's scared of everything, but it's really fun. He loves it. And it's so much better than listening to sea shanties. If he asks for the spooky podcast, I'm like, yep, I don't care if you hear whatever.
Also, how do we like get Rainn Wilson to hear us plugging his podcast so he can in turn plug our podcast and then we blow up to those millions of followers?
Yeah. I love that plan. So there's an episode, and if you didn't listen last week, last week when I talked about it? Go back and listen. Yeah. But basically, it's like people telling spooky stories, crazy experiences, whatever. And there's like two stories per episode. So we listened to an episode the other day that was this woman talking about camping. And she said something about Tahoma area. So I'm going to guess she was in Washington State. But love there's that. Not like a Tahoma National Forest or like Tahoma Park. But she was driving from California to, I don't know, the Pacific Northwest. So she was camping, whatever.
Maybe for people who aren't from Washington, Tahoma is
Mount Rainier.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Because it's Mount Rainier was named for someone who never even visited Rainier, and it's so fucking stupid. Anyway.
So she's talking about how they were at this campsite, and she's like a seasoned camper and was very comfortable camping and just had this weird uneasy feeling in this forest. But she had like fallen and hurt her ankle that day, which like turned out she'd broken something, she later found out.
My ankle's hurting today, like really bad. And I'm like limping and I don't know why. Spooky.
Did you break it unknowingly?
Probably not, because I can still walk on it. Okay, keep going.
Weird. There are no coincidences, as the tarot deck says. So she was feeling kind of like unsettled, and she kept feeling like someone was watching her from this campsite, just like not feeling great. Her friend that she's with snaps a photo, like all set up in whatever forest, posted on Facebook. They lay down, they set up their tent, whatever they get in their tent. And she just has this weird feeling, to the point where in the middle of the night, she wakes her friend up and is like, we need to go sleep in the car because something just doesn't feel right. And her friend is like, okay, I trust you. So they get in the car, fall asleep in the car. They like left their tent and everything out, but I think maybe brought some of their gear in. And she like hears twigs snapping in the middle of the night or whatever, wakes up, looks out the window, and sees this green light coming through the forest. And it's a green orb, like a green ball of light coming through the forest. Mm-mm. And it keeps getting closer. She's like rubbing her eyes. She's like, what is this? She wakes up her friend. Her friend is like, what the fuck is that? They're both like kind of freaking out. And her friend is like, let's get the fuck out of here. So like the keys were in the ignition. They just leave the tent. They just drive off. It's like 3 or 4 in the morning and they just like peel out of there. Mm-hmm. They get to like a local town. Thank God
their battery wasn't dead, just leaving the keys in the ignition though.
They get to a local town and there's like a Sherry's Diner, which is, I don't know, is that a here thing or is that a national thing?
Oh, maybe it is a here. Like I knew immediately what it was, but maybe, maybe
it's like a little, I don't know, like IHOP-y kind of.
Yeah, or like, what's that? The Village Inn kind of thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like a shitty little, you know,
pies.
And yeah, pies and meatloaf. Shitty coffee kind of diner. And I guess they're open 24 hours a day. So they're like, let's go get some pie and like calm down and figure out what's going on. And they didn't have very good cell reception. She said it took like an hour for that photo to upload when they were at the campsite, but they had cell reception in town. So her friend opens up her Facebook and the first comment on her photo is from a friend who's indigenous, who's a Native American, that says, watch out for the green lights in those forests.
Stop it.
Yeah.
And full body like, chills.
Right? Me too, even though I listened to the podcast already. Oh my God. And, but then that's just, they were like, yeah, so we like definitely feel like we avoided something crazy that day. And then that's it. That's the end of the
episode. That was it?
Yeah, oh, so no. You never find out anything more. So obviously I come home and I'm like, what was the green light in the forest?
Right.
And I found Reddit threads of people trying to speculate like what forest she was in, like what did she see, what's the folklore.
Oh my God.
And oh my one could figure out anything. There's no answers. No one can answer it. But it led me down a Reddit sort of / internet rabbit hole of orbs.
Yes, it did. Oh,
and like
yes.
Learning about orbs, which I had always thought were kind of lame. And like,
this is a genius episode because we both have kind of thought it's lame, but I'm excited to like learn more about it.
I was like, you know what? This is a cool orb story. My interest is piqued. I am going to learn a little bit more about orbs. You do the business. I'm going to fucking just limp along like...
I'm the one limping today, though. So
you're physically limping, and I'm sort of spiritually, emotionally, mentally limping. So you know, we complete each other.
You'd be like an orb that, like, together. That wasn't like floating gracefully. It'd just be kind of like,
what's that beautiful thing floating around? Like, what's that one that keeps crashing into trees? Like falling.
It's all
the
knees
ground.
And elbows.
Sputtering. How is it pointy? How is it a pointy orb?
Is it like a macaroni and cheese tattoo?
A tramp stamp? Why do I get the weird feeling that orb has a tramp stamp?
about Satan? Is this just like an energy I'm getting?
Fucking bomb energy.
Okay, tell us about Orms.
Okay, so it turns out I could do like a 15-parter on this. This kind of reminded me of Bigfoot, where I was like, oh.
Right, like this will be easy. And
this will be like, yeah. Will there be enough? Oh my God, right. I could talk for days about orbs. Like there's so many. Yeah, and because there's a lot of, kind of like Bigfoot, turns out there's a lot of orb-like phenomena all over the world. And like every place has their own flavor of orb.
Orb flavor.
Oh, I don't know why that's, I don't like that. So we may revisit like some of these in the future with more specificity.
Great word. Yeah, that's a great word. I love that word. Specificity. Well, it's so good.
I will try and fit it in again this episode just for you. Okay, so the most widely accepted orb definition is a globe of light or a light ball, right? Which is, I think, like mostly what we would picture. But most commonly, I think, in the sort of paranormal world where you hear orbs spoken about, it's like a shitty little thing in a photo. You know, it's like people will take a photo or a video and they'll be like, oh, look, that's an orb. And you're like, that's just dust, actually.
That's a bug. That's, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a raindrop.
Right.
So that's kind of why I think why Lacey and I have been haters up till now. That's about to change.
Oh boy.
But it turns out you can also see orbs with the naked eye, which remember Josiah sort of alluded to when we interviewed him, and he was like, I'm gonna go to San Diego and see some orbs.
Yes.
Like, yeah. And he was like, no, like you see like balls of light floating over the ocean. And I'm like, you're gonna go see military tech that we don't know
yeah,
about.
Right.
That's what you're gonna go see. So that was kind of my first intro to orbs as not just in a photo, but actually in real life. So they can be both. They can appear in a variety of colors. Mostly they're like transparent, translucent, or white, but they could be black, green, red, blue. They're often floating in midair. They're often moving around really quickly, coming closer and then going further away. And there's sort of two categories, I think, as like what I've decided that I would put them into, which is like photo orbs or video orbs, like little, which I would call like dust spots, or like actual someone having a sighting with their own eyeballs of something floating in front of them.
I don't know why, but the thought of seeing a black orb sounds creepy, very scary,
right?
Especially at night. If you can discern like a black floating ball in the darkness of night, like that just seems like bad news bears. Not good.
Yeah, I don't like it. Mm-mm. If you do a quick Google, you will see that the crystal folks love orbs. The woo-woo kind of crystal gals love orbs and love seeing orbs in photos and videos. And that is always like your dead grandma visiting you or like whatever. And they basically state orbs are manifestations of energy. So they are spirits or they are ghosts or they are something like that. But they are certainly the representation of our life force after it leaves our body. And you'll see like over and over on blogs and people talk about like, we all know that like energy exists within our bodies. Energy cannot be destroyed, right? It can only change forms. We know that. And so after you die, where does that energy go? Well, that when you see an orb, that's what you're seeing. You're just seeing the sort of life force of someone after they've died.
Well, so why don't hospital caregivers like you just see orbs all fucking day?
Why don't I just have a fucking little troop of orbs falling behind me?
Nurse Haley. Okay,
maybe
I
do. Maybe I do. Maybe it's horseshit. Okay, so they will also say that orb purists will say that a true orb is an orb that is relatively solid from the center without any of the spokes of light that you would see from light interference. So like if you see a photo and there's like a speck of dust or whatever you'll see, or, you know, like you'll get like a sun flare or whatever, you'll see sort of the pillars of light. Mm-hmm. A true orb is like through and through solid, whatever.
I see.
Yeah. They will say that orbs emit their own light, actually, even if it's a very small amount of light. And some even say that orbs are an energy or like a life force that we do not yet understand. It's science that we don't understand yet. Maybe, right?
I don't know. Maybe.
There are like so many blogs that will tell you what different colors of orbs mean. And it's not consistent between the different sources what the colors mean. Like white is usually a sort of pure, like not ill-intentioned. Clear might indicate an entity that's trying to communicate with you. Black could be negative, mm-hmm. or it could be protective.
Oh, those are two very different things.
Brown is associated with lower spiritual vibrations or earth energy.
Oh. Which I was thinking like poop.
Poo. Yeah, earth energy. We all know what that means. Yeah, composting toilet.
So dumb.
Orange is vitality, joy, creativity. Red is associated with safety. Da-da-da-da-da-da. I could go on and on. So okay. You get the picture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Choose your own adventure. How does the color make you feel?
Exactly. Like
what's
me
your color
my
analysis?
Seafoam.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
That's because seafoam's my favorite color, so that's right. The vibe I want to give off.
Clearly.
Mm-hmm. So I will briefly touch on what I think is the least exciting part of orbs, which is basically dust particles floating in pictures.
Yeah.
So like I said earlier, I have traditionally been a hater of this. I don't really buy it necessarily, but what I'm realizing is there are some situations where I have a lot of context for the photo and that makes it more intriguing to me. So I don't like on Facebook when someone posts a photo of a clearly misty graveyard and they're like, there's orbs everywhere. You're like, that's mist. So the water is reflecting the light, you know.
Science.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or like a dusty old haunted house and they're like, oh, look at all these orbs. I'm like, again, dust is floating through the air. There are particles. You are photographing them. That pisses me off. But there are people whose opinions I trust who believe there is some merit to orb photography. So like that's maybe something. And one such character is the amazing Shannon Taggart that we interviewed in, I don't know, relatively early days of our podcast.
Yeah, it was like one of our first. It was like, episode 12.
I was going to say, was it like 12? Yeah.
Do you know why I know that?
Why?
Because I'm lazy. And when I record our Zoom calls, it like when I first did it, it was the first time I did it was when we interviewed Shannon.
We were interviewing her.
Yeah. And so I still have the file directory set up that the Zoom saves to that episode. So whenever I go in to look at our files, it's always episode 12.
That's amazing. So you know. Okay, so.
I know, yeah.
If you are intrigued by what we're talking about, go back and listen to episode 12 if you haven't.
Yeah.
She's super
badass.
She's
got crazy photos. Wasn't it in like Sardinia, Italy or something?
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about that one. I wish that I wasn't sick with COVID and also like preemptively grieving the death of my dog that was about to die, or had she just died when we interviewed Shannon? Because I was not at my best. That was like,
I thought you meant right now. I was like, do you have COVID right now?
No. When we interviewed Shannon. So I was like just scraping by as a human that night. And now I'm like, okay, I feel like a different human since we interviewed her all those years ago and I want to do it again. Just like,
well, I'm sure she would come back on.
Like, just tell us more of your shit.
Yeah.
She's so cool. But when I Googled her to find these photos so I could talk about them tonight, guess what I found out about her?
What?
She's been interviewed on Coast to Coast twice.
Stop.
We met a celebrity.
We're Coast to Coast adjacent.
We are one degree of separation away from Coast to Coast.
So how do we get interviewed on Coast to Coast? I think we have to like discover something.
I'm psychically something cool. willing it to happen. So that's got to mean something.
I think
right. we need to discover something or do something of value that contributes to the world of spookiness. Which I don't put it past us to do. I think we could do it.
Yeah, maybe we want it too much, you know? Too bad, too hard.
The aliens know that about me.
And the ghosts, and the orbs, and the Bigfoot.
You are too hard.
It all points into one direction when none of the things
your butt. Yes. Haley, stop. Just be serious for once in your life. Okay. So Shannon has documented some pretty fucking cool stuff when it comes to orb photography that definitely kind of makes you think twice. So I want to share two intriguing Shannon stories from her book, which is called Seance, and you should buy it. It's really
so
beautiful.
Cool.
Okay, so the first is the photo that you shared with me once before we interviewed her last time that always stuck with me. And in the book, Shannon tells the story of traveling to Sardinia in Italy and meeting with this group of people who practiced orb photography. And she was like, she told them like, oh, I don't usually like capture a lot of orbs in my photos. Like that doesn't really happen. And they were like, oh yeah, yeah, no, you just got to come with us. You have to say your prayer to whatever, like prayers to the spirits or whatever. And like, welcome the spirits. I can't remember what she said. Like they lift up their energy or something like that. Like there's some whatever practice they call it, where they go to this place on like the, I don't know, mountain or something and like say their prayers to the spirits, lift up their energy. And then Shannon snapped a photo and I've literally never seen anything like that in my life.
Crazy.
And I'll post it on Instagram. But there are like thousands and thousands of tiny orbs in that photo.
And they don't look, I mean, like Haley was talking about earlier about like,
it doesn't look atmospheric
or something. No, yeah, it's like very, like, it's intense.
It's weird. So I'm like, it's possible that it is just like a Misty Mountain Lord of the Rings reference intended. And that like, maybe that's just what she captured, was like a lot of reflecting of mist or whatever. But like, also maybe it's a sacred space full of spirits, because it's pretty cool.
Why are they all there in Sardinia? I mean, I guess why not be in Sardinia if you could
that's
pick
where
a,
I would
a
be
place
if I could
to be.
Choose.
Yeah, yeah. Fuck this place.
So like, that's kind of intriguing. And then the other story that Shannon tells that I thought was really interesting was about this woman named Dorothy who works at Lilydale. And go listen to our interview with Shannon, because you're going to want to become best friends with her, because she's really cool. But so cool. Basically, Lilydale is our idea of heaven. It's in upstate New York. And
it's
like
our retirement plan.
Oh my God, for real. It's like a Victorian commune full of like spiritualists and mediums and like psychics and basically anything that we could ever hope to
be.
Have in our lives. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Shannon hosts an event there every summer, and is my dream of dreams to go there one day, because I think it would
be
so
cool. We need
to
make it happen. We do like a fun little weekend in New York, and then you know,
drive upstate
girls and do a podcast reading, you know, boom, wham, bam. Yes. Thank you, ma'am. Put it on the tour.
And it seems like it's a lot of women. I think there's men there too, but it's like a lot of women, all these sweet old gals who just like are spooky as shit. And
remember that one story she told where there was like a gal, God, I'm going to be so fuzzy on this, but there was a gal who died, and then like they saw her ghost like in the car or something, or they talked. Remember that?
Yes. Yeah.
It was so, I was like, oh, I want to live in this place and cool. die in this place and then haunt this place. Mm-hmm. It sounds so cool. Yeah.
And this is where Shannon first started getting into the world of spirit photography, I guess, and like learning about some of this ooky spooky stuff more, which I love. So she met a woman named Dorothy who works at the museum in Lilydale. And Dorothy showed Shannon around, taught her about spirit photography. So Shannon was like, can I take your picture? So she took two photos of her, one inside the museum and then one outside, and then developed them. I'm pretty sure this is film photography.
Yeah, right? I think so.
Because this is like older. In both photos, there's a purple orb on Dorothy's shoulder.
Really?
Yeah, there's like a very, very clear orb on her shoulder. And Shannon sees it and she's like, oh, it's like a defect or something, you know, immediately. Right. She's thinking like it's a mistake, so she goes and shows Dorothy, and Dorothy goes, oh, that's Bob. And Shannon's like, what? Bob was Dorothy's deceased husband, and I guess sort of makes a habit of showing up in her photos next to her as a purple orb.
Oh, I do remember this photo.
Yeah. So like, that's really cool. And she was so nonchalant, like basically like, oh yeah,
right, you know, that's Bob,
there he is.
Wow.
Now, I don't really have a good scientific sort of debunking for why there's two different photos taken in two different places, two different environments, two different lighting, and Bob shows up as the same purple orb in the same-ish spot in both pictures. Like, same-ish relative to Dorothy, not relative to the composition of the photo.
Right. I mean, you know, if it were just the one outside, I'd be like, it's probably some sort of, like, light leak or, like, the sun is doing something weird.
That it's replicated.
Yeah, that's very cool. Weird. Yes, very cool. Mm-hmm. I love that.
So I feel like I've been like a little bit more open to that. And then like, I think I've sent you before. Everyone on this podcast knows that Elise and I are obsessed with Christy Dawn dresses. And the so Christy obsessed. Dawn, who started the company, her mom died of cancer last year, I think. Aww. And I guess they made an agreement that her mom would like return to them in the form of a moth. That would be like her thing. And moths just started showing up all the time and like getting into their house. And like her boys are really excited. She has two young sons and they would be like really excited. So then she would start filming the boys like chasing or like running around the moth or like looking at the moth. And then there'd be an orb like always in her video or her photo. And it's like different times of day, different lighting. So then she'd be like, oh my God, look at the orb. Like, there's my mom. There's like, you know, the moth. So I'm like,
would you be watching? Like, you'd seen those videos before this.
Yes.
Like, you've seen. Yeah, oh, yeah, wow. Yeah. Uh-huh. That's cool.
So I'm like, okay, with some context, I can be open to some orb photography being meaningful and like maybe being a little more interesting than just someone in the fucking, you know, haunted Facebook group being like, look at all the ghosts I found in this house. Right. And it's like, literally, that's a cobweb. Like, you can actually see that it's a cobweb.
That's a moth. Mm-hmm. Not a cool haunted one, just a regular one.
There are people including Joe Nickel, obviously.
Oh, boy.
Who will give scientific explanation.
We haven't talked about him for a while. It's been a minute.
It has been a welcome break from this Scrooge.
Old Joe.
trying to debunk our fun. But alas, he returns. Although, I'm kind of with him on this, but I'm like, just have a little fun, Joe.
Yeah.
You probably know this term in photography. They call backscatter.
Oh, no, I don't know that term.
Also called near camera reflection. So I guess it's an optical phenomenon resulting in typically circular artifacts on an image due to the camera's flash being reflected from unfocused motes of dust, water droplets, or other particles in the air or water. Mm-hmm. I guess it's especially makes common sense. With modern compact and ultra compact digital cameras. Something about the fact that the lens and the flash are really close to each other on our cameras, especially like phone cameras. I read that somewhere. So a lot of people will say, oh, that's just backscatter whenever you see orbs in photos. Like, that's just a defect, basically, of the reflection of the light. So I don't want to talk, like, too long about dust photos because I don't think that they're the coolest type of orb. I want to talk more about something that, like I said earlier, I didn't know very much about until relatively recently, which is sightings of actual orbs in real time with real human eyeballs in front of you.
Yeah, I've never heard of that. That's bizarre.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, that gives me way... It gives the whole idea more credence to me. Like,
yeah.
Okay.
It's way more promising, I think,
also,
and more interesting.
The photo of Dorothy with the purple orb, like, that's not, that photo, like, doesn't look like what a normal orb looks
yes.
like. It's like so big and yeah. pronounced.
Like, very pronounced.
Yeah. Totally. So,
yes.
So,
and not like a light leak or like a flicker of light or whatever.
It's like very contained and interesting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's kind of funny if you look up orbs like on blogs or on Reddit or whatever. A lot of people will like share our feelings, which is orbs get written off because of stupid. Bad photography when actually there is like really cool stuff to be discovered, which I think is kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to share some stories of like smaller scale sightings, historical sightings, some well-known sightings, and like quote unquote lights that will happen on a regular basis that some people would sort of lump in the category of orbs.
Cool.
And I'm going to lump them in because we get to decide what we want.
This is our show.
So yeah, this is our podcast.
If you don't like it, leave. Rules.
Yeah, but please don't.
Yes.
Yeah. We want you.
We need this. We need you.
Okay, so you and I have both spoken a lot before about how like historical references to things makes it seem more legit in our eyes.
Yeah.
And then also like indigenous tradition incorporating something makes it seem way more legit.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I hit the jackpot here with a historic indigenous tradition that may or may not bring about spirits in the form of orbs.
Yes.
Like, fuck yeah.
Jackpot for sure.
Have you ever heard of the ritual of the shaking tent?
No.
It's so cool. I'd never heard of
Sounds
it before.
Sounds so
either.
Cool.
Okay, so this is a ritual that's practiced within many Native American and First Nations cultures within North America. And it seems like the details can vary based on like where you are on the continent, but the foundational aspects are basically always the same. So this is a ritual, ceremony, whatever you want to call it. And basically what happens is after sunset, a shaman or a medicine man who's been selected to preside over the ceremony crawls into a tent, like a little, like a small, like teepee-like tent.
Yeah.
And they usually have a tobacco pipe and a rattle or a drum. And once the shaman or the medicine man is inside, he starts singing and making noise with his instrument and invites any spirits that are present in the area to join him inside the tent. And after a little
That's
while,
ballsy.
Right, however long of him like performing, the tent will start shaking, like violently shaking.
And he's not shaking it.
Yes. And like you can see the bottom of him. You can see parts of him. Like and from what I've read, it would be like very hard for him inside with his two arms to be like flailing the tent around, basically.
Oh my God.
And that is supposed to signify like, okay, the spirits are here. They're shaking the tent.
Oh my God.
Which is so cool.
What do they do after that? What do they do with the spirits?
So then after the shaking calms down, okay, the spirits are here. The medicine man will ask people who are gathered outside the tent to be part of the ritual. What questions do you have to ask the spirits? And like people would ask traditionally, like the fate of sick loved ones, where our enemies are, ask about like hunting game, you know, like where should we go to for our hunt, whatever, like sort of survive, almost survival like questions and stuff like that. And then the standard payment for this service is a piece of tobacco, which the person would like toss into the like opening on the top of the tent, and it would fall down, and the medicine man would receive it, and then he would ask the spirits your question. So I guess he would speak in a language that no one else could understand.
Wow.
Which is crazy and cool.
Yeah.
And I don't really understand it, but I love it. And then a voice that sounded like not his voice, that sounded like it was not coming from his body, would respond also in a language that couldn't be understood. And then the medicine man would translate the answer to the people. Like, okay, this is what the voice, this is what the spirits are telling me. And then, you know, in this sort of legend of the, of these rituals, it's reported that the spirits' replies and predictions are almost always later found to be true. Wow. So if you would ask the spirit something, they would tell you. So cool.
This gets me back to when we were on that ghost hunting tour in Jerome, and they said, like, ask the spirit something that only you know, or like your name or whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't understand the thought behind that spirits are like fortune tellers or all knowing, or like, so when we die, do we just like have the answers to everything? Because that's
again
dope.
I will be busy having sex with James Dean. So right. I don't think I'm gonna be paying attention to a lot, but
he will give you, yeah, all maybe the answers.
you're like tapped into some,
yeah, like thing. the aortic valve of the universe. Yeah, the universe. Artery.
Oh, I love that. Yes. So what does this fascinating ritual have to do with orbs, you might ask? They call them spirit lights, and apparently, traditionally, they would appear on the tents during the ritual.
Oh, shit.
So according to this website called Mysteries of Canada, which is another great tramp stamp idea for me personally, there are a lot of written accounts from white fur traders and travelers and missionaries about their experiences witnessing the shaking tent ceremony.
Wow.
And many of those letters and memoirs describe seeing strange lights flickering around or near the top of the tent while the ceremony was in session.
Oh my God.
Which is so fucking cool.
So cool.
There was a frontiersman named George Nelson. He was a fur trader, and he headed a succession of Hudson's Bay Company posts around Lake Winnipeg in like the early 1800s. And this is a snippet from the Mysteries of Canada website. In various letters to his father written throughout the spring and summer of 1823, he described the mysterious lights he witnessed during Cree shaking tent ceremonies. In one of these letters, he described seeing a vast number of small lights resting on the hoops that hold the poles together during one of these rituals. In that same letter, he described the alleged experience of a Métis teenager who is said to have crawled into a shaking tent in the middle of a ceremony and paid for his curiosity. There was a dreadful fluttering within, Nelson wrote, but especially about his head, his hair flying about his face as if in a tempest, and frequent appearances of small lights before his eyes whichever way he turned. Nelson attempted the same bold maneuver during a shaking tent ceremony held outside of his post at L'Orange, and described his astonishing experience in another letter. At midnight, he wrote, the conjurer addressed me and asked if I wished to see any of the spirits. I accepted the offer and thrust my head underneath, and being upon my back, I looked up and near the top observed a light as of a star in a cloudy night, about 1.5 inches long and 1 broad. Though dim, yet perfectly distinct, a little after 1 a.m., one of my men looked in with several Indians and saw several small lights about as large as the thumbnail. A few minutes before 2 a.m., they gave another shaking to the frame and made their exit.
Bizarre.
So cool.
So cool.
It's like in the 1800s, this white dude's like, yep, right, seeing all these little weird little lights all around the tent as this native... like seance is being held, essentially.
Oh man, that would be so cool.
So cool. In the article, the author goes on to describe like other historical figures of that era witnessing the same thing
and like
writing
what,
about it all independently.
What would they have to gain by lying about that?
Especially because it seems like historically the white man would diminish the accomplishments,
right,
of the natives that he would encounter, mm-hmm, and definitely not like play them up and be like, wow, they have like all these
connections,
really cool things. Yeah. So then the author of this article wanted to find contemporary examples of shaking tent ceremonies. Like, is this something that still happens?
Oh, I was going to say, I'm like, fuck us for ruining their culture and getting rid of them. I'm so glad they still happen.
Super cool. So she found a woman named Nicole, who's from Ontario, who is of Native heritage. And as is the case, sadly, for a lot of Indigenous people born in Canada since colonization, she was taken from her mom as a baby and placed with a white family, which is like a pretty common practice in Canada up until like 50 years ago, if even. So she decided to attend a shaking tent ceremony in 1995 when she was 22 years old because she was trying to locate her birth mom. She couldn't find her mom, and she thought maybe the spirits will tell me where my mom is.
Oh, that's so heartbreaking.
So the ceremony was held in the basement of a building, I think on like a Native reservation in Ontario. And once everyone gave the medicine man their tobacco, so they still sort of do all the traditional parts of it, they took their places and then they turned off all the lights. And it was nighttime in a basement. So she said it was so dark, you couldn't even see your own hand right in front of your face, like actually pitch black. And she said it was really intense, like very intense. There were cedar branches that were part of the like the tent structure, and you could hear the branches like rustling with the tent moving. And she said at one point she thought she heard a wolf howling. She said it was just like super intense, like really crazy. So she said one by one, the attendees would ask their questions, and it took like 5 minutes for the medicine man to respond. Like, it wasn't like he immediately came up with an answer. He would ask the spirits and then he would wait. Then they would come up with the answer. So when the time came for Nicole to ask her own question, she asked the spirits to tell her the location of her birth mother. And the spirits replied that her mother was at Mount McKay, which is a mountain like south of Thunder Bay, Ontario, near the western shores of Lake Superior. So she's like, great, that's where my mom is. So a few days after the ceremony, she calls the band office of Fort William First Nation, which is like occupies the land at Mount McKay. And she like gives her story. She explains the situation and she's like, do you have any record of a woman giving up a baby for adoption 22 years ago, giving up a daughter? And she gave them all the info that she had on her adoption paperwork. But they were like, we don't have anyone that matches those details like registered here. We're really sorry. So then a few months later, Nicole is at work and she gets a call from her birth mom.
What?
It's unclear how she found her. I don't know if it was like a chain of events started by that phone call, or I'm guessing that she was putting a lot of effort into finding her mom. So maybe another connection was what sort of found her. But Nicole, like her boss is like, go home, go connect with your mom. They spend the whole day talking.
Wow.
And she tells her about how she'd gone to the shaking tent ceremony and the shaman had told her. And her mom said that at that exact same night that she was at the shaking tent ceremony, she was at a powwow at the Fort William Reserve, which is the place that the spirits told her her mom was.
Full body chills. Oh my
Isn't
God.
That so fucking cool?
So they were being very meta about it. Like at this very moment,
at this
she
exact
is here.
Moment,
this isn't where she's
is.
From, but right now she's
but
here.
But if you go there right now, you'll find her.
How cool that they were both partaking in like their cultural practices at the same time. Yeah. That's insane.
So that part doesn't have anything to do with our topic. I just thought it was really cool.
No,
so
I think it does.
But then the author of the article asked Nicole about orbs and she said, yeah, oh yeah, we saw orbs in the basement that night during the shaking tent ceremony. Her quote is, yeah, they were actually outside the tent and I saw lights going in front of me. So I guess people would call them orbs, a speck of light. And it wasn't like dust. You could not see in front of your face downstairs. You can't see your hand. You can't see a shadow, nothing. So we could not see anything, but I certainly saw things that flew in front of me. It was quite, there's nothing else to kind of describe that really.
Wow.
Isn't that so cool?
These kind of things make me think, like, while I was listening to you tell the story, it makes me ask this question of myself. Like, I hear these stories from, like, Native cultures, and it's so convincing that, like, there must be something true to what they believe. And then I'll hear stories from other religious persuasions who have something really compelling that they believe has happened to their people after, you know, that they give signs that there's proof of heaven or whatever. And, like, I hear all these stories that when I hear them, I'm like, oh my God, yeah, I believe that totally.
Yeah.
So then what does that mean? Does it mean that each experience is possible and that they all can coexist and there is no one right answer?
Maybe.
I don't know.
Or that whatever this energy, spirit, whatever is, will manifest itself in whichever way you give it an opportunity.
Yeah. I guess. It's just, there are so many mysteries, man.
Truly. But we're going to solve them. One at a time.
And we're going to be on coast to coast for doing it.
Oh, hell yeah. Watch out.
Watch
George
out.
Norrie.
Yeah.
going to say Art Bell, but he passed. It's George.
Oh, R.I.P. R.I.P. Art Bell.
Pour one out for Art Bell.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We'll just drink wine on his behalf. Mm.
I just kissed my fingers and pointed them to the ceiling.
Love that. Love that. So I wrote here, one thing that I have loved about doing research for this podcast is like time and time again, finding something. And then the more I look into it, the more that I see there's like commonalities all over the world.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we talked about like with Bigfoot or like crop circles or ghosts or whatever mm-hmm. thing it is. It's like, oh, wow. Every culture has a version of that. And so cool. And it was developing simultaneously without necessarily like contact or input from other cultures. So it kind of feels mm-hmm. like it's happened organically in many places all over the same thing. And it turns out that orbs are very much, you know, like holding that trend as well.
Cool.
They just have different names, I think. So I want to talk about some famous orbs that have been seen around the world. And I don't know, I would file these all under orbs, which is like floating lights that we can't quite explain. Mm-hmm. Somebody else might call them different things, and you're welcome to do that, but I'm not going to. I'm going to put them all under the large umbrella of orbs. Yes. So speaking of indigenous cultures, the first one I want to talk about is in Australia. And it's this strange phenomenon known as Min Min lights, or the Min Min light.
Oh, wow.
Which are basically orbs that indigenous Australians have been tracking for centuries. And like many indigenous cultures, it's mostly an oral tradition, so it's kind of hard to find written records of the stories or the folklore, mm-hmm. but I gathered what I could from the internet.
Love it.
So the Min Min lights are lights that appear near Boulia in the Australian outback in Queensland. And basically, if you go driving out in the middle of nowhere in the outback at night, you will see what you think is oncoming traffic. But then the lights will come up to you and there's no car attached. They're just lights. And then they'll go racing past you and you'll be like, wait, what the fuck was that?
What?
And they'll go faster or slower. Like some people report that they're almost playful seeming. Like they'll come closer.
Like then flirting with you. Oh.
Yeah. Or like interacting, like, you know, playing like, oh, closer. Nope. Now where am I going? Okay. Now we're going to go up. Now we're going to go to the
Tinkerbell.
Side. And then they'll. Yes, totally.
Wow.
Then they'll split and they'll be like multiple and then they'll come back together again.
Weird.
Some people say that it's like playful and seems kind of fun and lighthearted. Other people say that when they see them, they're overcome with this feeling of dread or fear.
Oh, interesting.
And there are local legends that say those who follow the lights are doomed to die.
Well, aren't we
almost
all?
This like the one thing we can all share.
Yeah.
It's almost like a siren like quality.
Oh, yeah.
That you'll see over and over in some of these like orb folklore where it's like beckoning you and you can't help, like you're entranced and you have to follow it.
Like the anglerfish, you know, with its totally. Little light.
Oh, yep.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. And like one article I read was like, yeah, well, you're in the outback. If you follow anything into the outback and you're not right. like on the road, yeah, you
it's
will
Australia.
Die.
Anything for sure. can kill you all
like,
the time.
You need to be careful there. Yeah. Like, don't follow lights off the road. That
right.
would be stupid.
Stupid.
there are people who have been driving and come in contact with the Min Min light or the Min Min lights, and they claim that the light has followed them while they're driving, keeping pace with their car. But if they turn around and like drive back towards the light, the anomaly will retreat at the same speed, never allowing itself to be caught. So wow. they'll just go chasing after it, flying after it. No matter how fast you go, it's going to go faster and disappear.
It's bizarre.
Lots of people have apparently chased the light, like driven as fast as they can to try and get it, but no one catches
no one does.
It. No one ever gets all the way to it. And some, I just read one reference of this, but I couldn't actually find any stories. I bet you if we went to a library in Australia and like, you know, found right. books and like found written texts, I'm sure we could probably find more of it. But it said that some Aboriginal folklore suggests that the lights are spirits of the deceased returned to the land as supernatural caretakers.
Oh,
so cool. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Okay. So there are possible explanations other than the ooky spooky, obviously. They will, people will suggest bioluminescence of some kind.
Okay, but like, isn't that in the water normally?
Yeah, it's usually in the water or like glowworms. They live in caves. Yeah,
I've seen bioluminescence in real life. It's
so
very
cool.
But you have to like move your hand in the water to get it to
yes,
activate.
You have to like splash it around.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or like, what else did they say? Oh, swamp gas. Even though it's literal fucking outback. I'm like, you know how dry it is there? There are not swamps
or
in the outback.
Swamp ass.
And that doesn't glow, to the best of my knowledge.
No, unless it's radioactive, and then you need to really
in which
take
case
a bath.
Medical attention.
Yeah, stat.
This is from the Wikipedia. I was like, I'm not going to summarize this. They suggest that the Min Min lights could be a form of Fata Morgana Mirage, which is a Fata, F-A-T-A, Fata, right?
Yeah.
Fata Morgana is a specific form of mirage caused by a stark temperature difference between air layers, which causes remote lights or objects actually beyond the horizon to appear visible above the horizon, often with considerable distortion. This explanation would also explain how reports of the sightings have changed over the years. The first reports in Aboriginal legends were of stationary lights, which would have been refractions over the horizon of campfires. Later reports are of lights that actively move. With a Fata Morgana mirage, this would be a refraction of car headlights over the horizon being reflected and being seen to move. The area of the Min Min lights are in a desert with known temperature inversions in the atmosphere. So maybe, but it doesn't, like, that would explain seeing lights in the distance that are moving. It wouldn't explain seeing lights that seem to be, like, interacting with you.
Yeah, no, that doesn't make sense.
Flirty lights are not from a mirage.
No, and, like, running as fast as you're running, but, like, always staying ahead of you. Yeah,
yeah. And then, like, moving and changing direction.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem, I don't buy it.
No.
So then, obviously, I went on Reddit to see.
Clearly you did.
A couple people had idea or had experiences. Someone said, I saw them while driving once. It seemed like there was a motorbike coming the other way on the highway, but it never seemed to be getting closer. Then all of a sudden, it zoomed up closer and vanished suddenly.
Oh, weird.
Mm-hmm. And then this is another one. Both of these accounts were deleted. A lot of these accounts were deleted. I don't know if
conspiracy.
It's because... I'm like, okay, is it just that all these posts are really old? But who deletes their Reddit? If anything, you just leave it, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. I see it sometimes. Like, it'll really annoy me. Like, I'll be looking at, like, parenting stuff, and, like, someone will have the same experience that I did. And then I'm like, oh, I want to see how their kid's doing now, because it's been, like, 2 years, and it's deleted. And I'm like, fuck, I want to see. I want you to tell me that the sleep got better.
I want to know that it gets better.
Yeah, exactly.
They were like, I'm leaving the internet before it destroys me. Yeah, exactly. Can you just leave me with, like, a little...
Like a little glimmer of
hope. A little speck of hope, please. So this person said, about 19 years ago, near my hometown in New South Wales, I used to get driven to catch a bus from a town called Parks, about 1.5 hours from my hometown, to go visit my then boyfriend in another town several hours away. The bus I had to travel to left from Parks around 2 a.m. and it would arrive back late at night. My dad would come pick me up. Really sweet dad.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that nice. For my kid. 2 a.m. Russell.
No. Learn to drive. On two separate occasions, we saw something strange. On the first occasion, we were driving along the country road in between two towns, the road running in between farms fenced off from the road. There was hills behind these farms that were silhouetted against the often bright night sky. We saw a big ball of light traveling down the hill parallel to our car, probably a couple of kilometers away, and we thought it was just a truck possibly driving along there, until we realized there wasn't a road there, and it was one light, not two, like car headlights, and it wasn't a motorcycle. Just because there wasn't a road there didn't mean it wasn't a vehicle, though, but it moved so smoothly and quickly, and we just thought it was odd. We didn't really think much about it until a few weeks later we were doing the same drive late at night, possibly a bit after midnight, and we saw the same light in the same area moving quickly and smoothly again. This time, Dad decided to stop the car and turn off the engine. When he did that, the light came down the hill and hurling towards us across the farm fields and over the fence that divided the farms from the road. It was fast. The ball of light was probably about 2 meters off the ground, had a diameter of around 1.5 meters. It was a gigantic, silent ball of light that kind of fluctuated and rotated as it moved.
Weird.
It slowed and hovered in the middle of the road behind our car, probably about 50 meters behind us. I got so scared, but Dad was fascinated, watching it inquisitively. I was panicking and yelling to start the car and drive. I'm not sure what happened after that because Dad turned on the engine and we started driving. We never saw that light again, but that was the most bizarre thing I've ever seen. And every now and again, I mention it to my dad just so that I know I'm not going crazy. And Dad always confirms every detail of it with me. I'm glad we were both there. Otherwise, I think I was going mad. I hadn't heard of Min Min lights until years later. The things that people have described as Min Min lights match exactly what we saw. I'll never forget it.
Wild.
Isn't that crazy?
It's so cool. I wonder, I like to think that in that situation, I'd be like, no, let's stare at it. But I also wonder if I'd be like, get out of here.
Go, this is fucking scary. I've seen horror movies.
Yeah.
I want to die.
Mm-hmm.
So like I said earlier, this episode could be like 30 hours long because in Australia alone, I found like a dozen examples of these wow. kinds of lights all across the country.
It reminds me, like, I don't know if you're going to talk about this, but have you heard of the story? I feel like multiple states have them, but where there's like the old railroad worker. And if you're out in the woods and you're on yep. the railroad, you can see mm-hmm. the light bobbing down. And that's the mm-hmm. sign of like the railroad worker. And it's like bad news yep. bears. And yep. it's so similar.
We're going to talk about a couple that are kind of like that.
Oh, boy. Uh-huh.
So reading about the Min Min light brought me to something called Will-o'-the-Wisp, which is a phrase that I'd heard yeah. before, but I never knew what it meant. Did you know what it meant?
No, but why have I heard that? What do I know it from?
I feel like there's like in like songs and
that's what
and,
I was
like,
going to say,
like old songs or something. Will-o'-the-Wisps.
Yeah.
And it's a type of a ghost light seen in the UK.
Cool.
Yeah. So it's commonly seen in marshes, bogs, sometimes even cemeteries. In English folklore, there's a lot of fairy tales surrounding the lights, and they're said to look like a flickering lamp that will retreat further back if approached. Yes. So to be cautious, because they'll entrance you and they'll draw you away from the path.
Oh my God.
It looks like someone holding a lantern, sort of walking back and forth.
It's just like a fucking anglerfish. It really is. That's bizarre.
It really is. Mm-hmm. Scientists will also ruin this one by saying swamp gas or ball lightning or bioluminescent mushrooms. Or the best one that I saw, which is that owls will eat bioluminescent fungi and then they'll fly through the sky and their bellies will be glowing because they have so many glowing mushrooms in their belly.
Okay, well, I
so
love
when you
that.
Think you're seeing an orb, you're actually seeing the glowing belly of a fucking Care Bear owl.
Which could be an alien in disguise.
Yes. Okay. And I didn't even get into this because I started looking and I felt like I was inching closer and closer to getting to erotic fiction just based on the titles of the like articles I was finding.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of people who will draw correlations between orbs, aliens, and Bigfoot.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Interesting. And that like orbs, it's kind of like the owl thing. Seeing orbs means that like it could be UFOs, or orbs just like represent this sort of metaphysical something something that's also consistent with Bigfoot's existence.
Yes,
and like also yes. things about like parallel universes and stuff like that.
Like the orbs are kind of like an in between,
yeah, like they're an indicator or something like that.
Oh, that you're like nearing a different dimension or a door or something,
or like a portal. Or cool. Yeah,
I love that.
And then like that's why you would be seeing Bigfoot or aliens, because they're coming from parallel dimension or
I like
universe
that.
Or something.
I like that a lot.
It's like cool, but I was like, okay, that's a little too in the weeds for me. We're just going to talk yeah. about fun stuff. At least he can roll can around in those weeds with Bigfoot if she wants yeah. to.
I do want to.
So another, yes, you do. Another name for these type of lights is called spook lights.
Oh.
Which is like also really cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there's one such light that's called the spook light. And it's been spotted on the border between Missouri and Oklahoma for decades, maybe even like over a century.
Really?
And this one has been, well, if you look at the Wikipedia, they've like acted as though it's been debunked. Like it's not even a question. They say you're just seeing headlights from Route 66. But the reality is, okay, first of all, reports go back to the 1800s. So you weren't seeing headlights from Route 66
wow.
then.
Ooh, cool. Mm-hmm.
They'll say, oh, well, we can't confirm those reports. Well, no, you can't confirm those reports from the 1800s.
Right.
Have a little fun, you mm-hmm. know, mm-hmm. for once in your life. Like, loosen up.
Drink but some wine.
Right. The reports also include the lights, like, dancing, going up and down, doing figure eights, moving further away from the ground.
Wow.
So I am not so quick to, like,
no.
write it off as headlight traffic.
I don't know how these people are driving that they think it's normal that your headlights dance around like that, because it's not how
maybe
I drive.
They need to be having some patrols along Route 66 over there.
I think so. Or they need to go get their license again and do the drive test because they suck at driving.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. I guess in the 60s, there's even like a little museum tourist attraction set up there. But basically, yeah. like folks would go park on this road. They call it the Devil's Promenade. Fucking love that.
There's your next tramp stamp.
Oh my God. I never even thought of that.
It's so perfect.
That's literally perfect. I've never heard of a better tattoo idea in my whole life.
It's perfect. You gotta get it done.
That is incredible. Actually, do you wanna know the best tattoo idea I ever had?
Yeah.
I don't
do.
Publicly talk about because it's like vagina adjacent.
Okay, oh, so I cannot wait.
Are you a Lord of the Rings person?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know it like you know it, but I like Lord of the Rings.
Have you
yeah.
seen, but you've seen the first movie.
Yeah, like, but it's been so long.
And you know when they're trying to go into the mines of Moria, and they're like stuck outside the wall, and Gandalf is trying to figure out the password to get into the mines of Moria.
Uh-huh.
And it's like this beautiful elvish writing, and it says, speak friend and enter.
Oh, yeah.
And then Frodo figures out, oh, it's a riddle. What's the elvish word for friend? And you say the elvish word for friend, and the gates open up and you can enter. So I was like, I'm going to get the door of the Mines of Moria just like right above my vag. And then it's going to be like a litmus test for if I'm ever hooking up with a guy. And I like take my pants off. And he's like, if he sees it, he's like, what the fuck is that? I'm like, zip. Okay, yeah, goodbye.
See ya.
But if he says the fucking elvish word for friend, I will be like, speak friend and enter. Absolutely. Isn't that such a good tattoo idea?
Yeah, it's a really good idea, actually.
But I never got it because I was like, I don't want a tattoo on my box. So yeah. I just didn't do it. But,
and you're married now. So like, he, I guess.
And also, TBH, I don't think that Matthew knows the Elvish word for friend. So that could be
problematic. So he's never entering again.
The door is hidden, my friend.
It is closed.
Sorry. You need to know the password. Yeah, isn't that such a good tattoo?
That's a really good idea.
Little seconded, candy, the tangent.
Seconded only by the Devil's Promenade.
So good. So perfect. Okay. This is another thing that makes me believe that it's not headlights. It's not there every night. And people right. will still go, look, it's less common now. I'm like, there's more cars now.
Right.
Than
that doesn't
then.
Make sense. So,
but it's basically described as an orange ball of light that dances and moves along the road at a distance. And others say that sometimes it would sway side to side like somebody holding a lantern.
Oh, yeah.
The only thing I don't like about this one is that instead of like incorporating indigenous folklore or folktales, they like attribute without any merit. They're like, oh, it's the ghosts of two native lovers and the woman's father, who is the chief, objected to their love. So they jumped from a local cliff together to like be together forever. And when you see the lights, you're seeing their spirits or whatever. I'm like, no.
Like,
we're not doing that.
Do the natives own that? Do they tell you that
story? I don't think I see them, like endorsing that tale.
Right.
Or like, it's the light of a man whose house was burned down by natives and his family all died and he's looking for them eternally. I'm like, okay, can we?
So it's either the natives or the natives destroyed someone's life.
Yes.
Right.
And I'm like, well, so probably it's none of those things.
It's probably car lights. Okay, people.
If that's the alternative, right. Then it's definitely headlights.
It's definitely headlights.
But then like I saw a local news article and on their Facebook page from this like Oklahoma, whatever, news station, they asked people to share their experiences, and it's all boomers. It's all like people who are in their 60s and 70s now, and they're like, oh my god, we saw it so many times, like we, you know, this was like a regular hangout. It was so cool. You didn't see it every time, but you saw it sometimes. Then obviously I looked this up on Reddit too, and I found a few. Oh, maybe I'm just gonna share one. Okay, so someone said, I've seen it. We went probably 50 times in high school. We always saw something off in the distance. Weren't sure if it were a yard light or headlights being moved through blowing trees. One night we saw it, though. We got out of the car and walked down a gravel side road for a few minutes, and it was there. It's a basketball-sized orb that moved in roughly figure eights about 10 feet above the ground. I kept looking at it thinking it was being projected by something, but it lit up the ground underneath it. I don't know what it is, and we had to shut our phones off at first. I understand how all this sounds, but what they're talking about is real. I don't know what it is, but the descriptions are talking about something that is real in some sense.
Hmm.
So cool.
That's a big orb, a basketball-sized orb.
That's a big orb.
Mm-hmm.
And there are dozens of these lights just within the United States. I don't know. Have you heard of the Marfa lights before in Texas?
I don't think so. No, I don't think
Same
so.
Same kind of thing. Marfa lights. It's like out in the, I don't know, like desert, right?
Plains. Yeah. Like the plains.
Something like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like hot Texas.
Hot, nasty place.
Marfa's like hipster Texas though, right?
Oh, is it?
It's
I
like
have no
cool,
idea.
It's like cool hip Texas and like artsy Texas.
Okay. I'll take your word for it.
But apparently there are like the Marfa lights. You can spot them sometimes and they can't really be fully explained. There are possible explanations offered up like swamp gas, whatever, ball lightning, but there's no like concrete explanation.
Honestly, I feel like the like meaning that you're near a portal to a new dimension is like very compelling. If it's like all over the world, that's cool. I like that.
There are the Brown Mountain Lights in North Carolina. It's like the same kind of thing where you go like pull off, park your car, and you'll see these lights in the hillside, in the mountains.
Clearly, we need to take an adventure. Like, there's pick your poison. Which one do we want to go to?
So cool. We don't even have to go that far.
No.
It, like, just, yeah, throw a dart at a map of the world, and you will find lights somewhere. When I looked at Atlas Obscura, there were, like, dozens of lights all over the world.
Cool.
And the North Carolina ones have similar stories to, like, what you were saying, where it kind of seems like it moves back and forth. Like, they go, oh, it must be a lantern.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, there are documented sightings, you know, like, over 100 years ago. So...
so
pretty
cool.
Compelling.
Mm-hmm.
There are even said to be lights seen on Skinwalker Ranch. But that is absolutely all I'm going to say about that because I'm not trying to fucking die tonight.
You probably still have to take the dogs outside you don't need to be bringing
you
that
energy. You
guys
can Google that. Mm-hmm. You can Google Skinwalker Ranch. I don't want to talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Before we finish, I wanted to share some just like good old generic orb stories because these are really fun and maybe the most promising indication of something real because people will see orbs in their fucking houses.
Like in front of their face, not in pictures.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is weird. This was posted in a subreddit called Backwoods Creepy.
Oh, boy.
And the subject is, have you seen the green orbs? And the account has since been deleted. It was like 5 years ago, maybe. I'm posting this everywhere. I feel it might get some attention. This is a true story about something I experienced as a child. My name is Avi. When I was 6 years old, I lived in a small town in Western Washington State.
Oh, that's boy. Where I live. Sorry.
The city is very close to forest area, and the population is mostly backwoods country type. We're tech yuppies here, so this is probably not fashion. Actually, we're a nice mix.
Yeah.
In the year 1998, I think, I was living in town. A night came where something strange and unique happened. My child mind couldn't fully grasp what was happening, but neither could the adults who witnessed this. My parents, my grandparents, my uncle, a police officer, and all our neighbors witnessed a large number of floating/flying green balls of light.
Wow.
They were around softball size, maybe a little bigger. My mother has reminisced in the night and told me about how they chased my grandmother's dog up the street and would pace the local traffic. A family friend admitted to seeing them in the nearby highway that night. My family has a very religious background, so their thoughts were that this was sinister and evil, but my memories are different. I vividly remember the green balls connecting in lines of five or so and spinning around like a baton and then unlinking to fly freely again. They would hover just above the street, up around the streetlights, and just everywhere in between. My mother kept ushering my brother and I inside out of fear, but I was not afraid. This may have been because I was young and unconditioned, but the lights didn't seem dangerous to me. There must have been at least 100 of them.
Wow.
I have theories about them, but I've never been able to find any encounters, so this is my newest attempt. I've even put up local flyers with my email to try and get anonymous stories. People in that area just don't like to talk about this kind of stuff.
Wow.
To the credit of my religious family, they did seem to cause the lights to leave. I remember the last I saw of them was as my grandmother was praying and telling them to leave. They suddenly stopped and all at once they shot up in the sky and disappeared forever. I've wanted to see them again ever since. I'm 27 now and I'm still left wondering what they were. My main theory is extraterrestrial. My mother supplements this because she remembers seeing a large craft with spinning lights on it in the sky.
Yes.
I've actually dreamt of this as an adult. Anyway, please, if you or anyone you know has seen lights or anything like this, I would find a lot of peace in just knowing that my little hometown is not alone. Thanks, Avi Raha.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Did people comment on it?
Yep. One of the comments was like, oh yeah, this is very much related to UFOs and Bigfoot. Like, you should continue looking into this.
Wow.
I was like, fuck yeah. One person said, my hairdresser told me she lived in a rural area of California gold country, and the unspoken rule up there is you were never to be caught outside alone at night. She had several modest stories. When she told them to me, her eyes were watering, her voice was stuttering. She was genuinely terrified of what she saw. One of the stories was that she would watch out into the forest line from her second story bedroom window at night, and it always terrified her. She would just sit there with her eyes wide open, just waiting for something to happen. One night while watching out the window, she saw clear, bright, tiny green lights begin to bounce and weave up and down in and out of the tree line. Wow. At first, they were far and vague. Eventually, they started quickly flying right towards her window. She was so scared that she ran into the hallway to hide in the closet, opened the door, and found her two sisters already huddled inside. Did you see it too? They asked her.
Oh my God.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Okay, this is a different one. This is a different thread. I can't remember what it was. Something about, I don't know, creepiness or whatever. Mm-hmm. I lived for a summer in the mountainous wilderness near Lake Shasta in Northern California.
Oh, aren't there supposed to be like alien stuff in Mount Shasta? Like,
yes.
It's supposed to be a very like, yes. Yeah.
Cool. Oh my God. I was going to ask you after this if you'd heard of that before because I'd never heard of that. Mm-hmm. But you know what's funny? Hmm. I will say it's an interesting like vibe being in that area.
Really?
Like you just have a different feel energy.
Cool. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like that.
Mm-hmm. One early evening, twilight, I was walking outside overlooking a large area of brush and shrubs. Out of the ground rose a softball-sized glowing blue orb about 20 feet away from me. It started bouncing or dancing around above the brush. Soon after, another similar blue orb came out and did the same thing. I watched them for about a minute, I'm guessing. I was not scared, more wondrous and happy or relieved to see them. I didn't feel like they were trying to tell me anything strongly or affect me in any way. It was nice and comfortable. Hmm. After a minute or two, I turned around to see if I was still in voice's reach of any friends I could show. When I looked back, they were gone. I wasn't on any drugs. I didn't have any other symptoms like headaches, memory loss, or anything. I looked around the area and didn't see anything else strange. There were no lights, lasers, or photography equipment around.
Wow.
And then all these people responded about Shasta and there being like a lot of really fascinating native lore around that area, and that like maybe there are people who live inside of Mount Shasta and maybe they're aliens or like special beings and just all this crazy shit that I'd never even heard of before.
That's super cool. I think there are stories
kind of like a weird place.
Yeah, like that about Denali too. That like there's really? Something weird inside the mountain. I'm like, it's called lava. No, I'm just kidding. It's not a volcano.
That's funny.
Wow, that's okay. A trip.
Okay, I just have one more. One night, my wife, our kiddo, and I were in bed. My boy had fallen asleep and my wife and I were watching Netflix. I couldn't remember what it was we were watching, but nothing scary as we normally stay away from horror flicks. Anywho, I fell asleep and shortly afterwards, she cut the TV off because she was sleepy as well. My wife knows not to scare me awake as she has before when she saw a roach and screamed or something else really silly. Because of my bad anxiety, I feel like my heart is going to explode and it takes me a while to get my bearings back. Well, this night, she done it again. She sank her nails into my forearm and whispered very loudly, "What is that?"
Oh, God.
I woke up confused and already nervous in a pitch black room and said, "What is what?" I already started to feel myself get very angry and I kind of yelled back, "What is what?" And about that time, a bright flash of light, kind of like a ball, illuminated about a quarter of our room.
Oh no.
It was quick, but very, very bright. Then a few seconds later, the orb flashed in the other corner of our room behind the television. We sat there in dead silence. A few moments afterwards, it flashed for the last time in our bathroom, illuminating almost the entire bathroom. She told me to go check it out and I refused. Eventually, we both went, arms interlocked, tiptoeing into the bathroom, shoulder to shoulder, but we didn't find anything.
Oh my God.
This has been by far our weirdest experience, but when we tell people, they either think we're crazy or we imagine it, and it's so frustrating. Our bedroom doesn't face the road, so it wasn't headlights. The lights didn't have a tail or stream behind it, so it wasn't a flashlight. Hell, I don't know what it was, but I'm tempted to think it's otherworldly.
Who are these people with zero imagination who just are like, "You're crazy"? Like, I'd be like, "Oh, tell me more, please. I'd explain everything.
Can I move into your house for
exactly? Let's have a sleepover, like
an artistic residence situation."
Paranormal investigator in residence.
You can be like an artist in residence. Yeah, I want to be like ooky spooky bitch in residence.
He needs better friends, clearly, if all his friends treat him like an idiot.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so just very briefly, there is a similar sort of name for this phenomenon in India and Pakistan. There's a very famous valley in Norway. There's a bunch in Scotland. There's something called the Luz Mala in South America, which translates as evil light, which they say takes the form of atmospheric ghost lights, which dance vividly on barren landscape. Sounds and legend familiar. Has it that the light is a soul broken out of the celestial sphere, crying in pain. The light is thought to emanate deadly gases, a product of decomposed bones. And according to the gauchos, who traditionally dominate these barren plains, this Luz Mala appears during the driest times of year. As with many mythical stories involving a brilliant light, the myth suggests that men have been tempted to venture towards the source of the light, only to find broken pottery remnants containing human remains.
Yikes. Cool.
And that's just like the tip of the iceberg.
Right.
Like, there are so many different examples of like disembodied.
Shining examples, spooky. You could say.
Yes. Lights.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I'm like, I want to just talk about orbs for the rest of my life. You know how I get whenever
yeah. You're going to get a tattoo. Research
something for this podcast. An orb tattoo.
It's just not a big circle.
Can you imagine? Just a circle in my arm. Like,
this
oh,
is an orb.
That. Does that represent forever? I'm like, no, it's an orb. It's
actually, people would think you were being ironic because, you know, orbs are just like when you see an orb in a picture, like, that's an orb. And you're like, no, it's dust. And they just see your circle and be like, yeah, it's an orb.
Is it an orb or is it a speck of dust? Yeah. Or is it water reflected?
You decide.
That's up for your interpretation.
Wow. Well, yeah, I feel like I can be convinced now.
Right?
You know?
Yeah.
I still will like raise an eyebrow if someone shows me a picture of dust and they're like, that's a ghost.
Yes.
But yeah. If you
and what I will say
someone,
now is you are misrepresenting orbs.
Yes. Yes. I think
because
you're right.
That's not what an orb is, really.
Right.
Wow. An orb is like Shannon's photo with the purple thing, mm-hmm. or it's like seeing a mysterious light right in front of you that you can't explain.
Seeing is believing.
Another thing I didn't even touch because I just ran out of time is like the UFO orb connection. Like maybe you're just seeing aliens or maybe you're just seeing military tech.
Right.
I don't know. Like maybe you're seeing tiny, tiny drones. I don't know. I doubt
Which
it.
Which is very
because
scary.
Because these are like, these reports go back so far. Right. But like that could maybe be some of the reports.
I'm curious as well about the triangle of Bigfoot orbs. Aliens.
Like, I'm sure you are curious about that. I'm sure you'd love to find out.
Vaginally
more.
Curious.
Sorry. Speak, friend, and enter, might I say.
Oh my God. I think it's funny that, you know, on my Zoom for work, I have my background mm-hmm. blurred and there's a window mm-hmm. behind my head and the window's blurred it and it like looks an like an orb. Literally is on my head this whole time.
At one
time.
Point, your dad like got up and walked through there and I was like, oh what my God. The fuck is that? Because it was just a shadow person. And then I was like, no, hey,
it's an
orb.
Is
blurred. Wow. It literally looks like an orb is really rising does. Out of you.
I mean, maybe it's my mom. You know, it's white energy. It's pure. No, her energy would be red. She's crazy.
She's a redhead.
Feisty. I mean, not in the best
she's
way,
gonna
mom.
Be a red orb. Hell yeah. My orb would be seafoam.
That's right.
Because it's my favorite color.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I don't know what mine would be. If I had been able to get to the non-charlatan version of the aura reading, maybe I would know. But I wasn't going to spend another $30 on a stupid paper printout to tell me.
Yeah, Josiah was messaging me. He was like, no. He sent me the place that he went. So he's like, you guys can go to Salem and Elise can get her proper
yes, undone. Please.
He was like, I feel so bad for her. Like,
I was
no.
So sad.
Like, he said that at theirs, they all cried after their
Yeah,
aura
I
reading.
Cried tears because like, I watched the $30 rip from my cold, dead hands.
He said theirs was like really emotional and intense and definitely not just a fucking printed out Microsoft Word document.
Yeah, I can't relate. But I do agree shit. That we should go to Salem and redo the experience together.
Yep. Also, there's a tattoo artist I really want a tattoo from there.
Great.
So
double the
so
reasons.
So many reasons to go.
Let's go. We can rent a cute mm-hmm. house. We can dress in black the whole time because we'll be witchy.
Get and my devil's promenade tramp stamp.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And we'll film it live.
Photoshop that on just to see how it looks.
We should do a photo session where we Photoshop on all the tramp stamp ideas
that
we
have.
We'll have to listen back because there's so many. We'll have to
there's
like fill
so
a notebook.
So many. People send me them sometimes now. Like tramp stamp idea for
this
you.
This is a challenge for our mega fans. If you go back and listen to all of our episodes, write down all
what
the
can
tramp
you remember?
Stamp ideas
yeah. off the top of your head
and send them to us, please.
Oh, I thought of a really good you wanting to have sex with Bigfoot pun today.
Oh, I love that you were thinking about that.
Well,
what if Ryan Gosling played Bigfoot in a film? Just
oh,
be like
oh,
the world's colliding.
Josiah went and saw
the Fall Guy. Oh,
no, the Bigfoot one.
Oh, Sasquatch. Sasquatch Sunset. Sunset.
Yes. Is yeah. Okay. No words the whole film because they're fucking Bigfoot.
Really?
So they just grunt. And he said a lot of Bigfoot scrotum. I think is his words that he used. He was like,
can't
"Be prepared
wait.
If you go see
can't.
It."
Oh, I'm glad he told me. I'll come prepared.
She'll come and also she'll be prepared.
Oh my God, this podcast.
I didn't even make
good
a sexual
God,
connection.
I know.
Oh
my
God.
That.
I just thought, oh, that's
God.
Silly. Okay, take us to a dark place that will not be illuminated by orbs.
Sadly, not a lot of info. As it happens, as ever. This is really it's not recent. They're just talking about it now. This actually happened a year ago in April of 2023. Indianapolis police are searching for a missing woman named Candace Harrell, H-A-I-R-L, I would say Harrell. Mm-hmm. She's 31. She was 5'5", African-American. She weighed around 110 pounds. She had brown hair, brown eyes. And she was last seen in April of 2023, but they didn't even disclose the last location that she was seen.
Oh, how sad.
Yeah. I looked
so it's been a year, so they're just sort of refreshing their, renewing their effort now. Mm-hmm. Or maybe fucking starting their effort for the first time.
A year later. I did a little Facebook, sleuthing and really couldn't find anything. I just found this article I'm reading, posted on their Facebook page or whatever. Mm-hmm. And someone commented, search through the abandoned house. And I was like, I don't know. Is this legit or is this just a troll trying to be creepy? Because nowhere in any story is there anything mentioned about an abandoned house. Yeah, I don't know. So they ask that anyone with any information should contact the IMPD Missing Persons Unit at 317-327-6160. Or you can contact the Crime Stoppers of Central Indiana. But yeah, it's really sad. Man. That's literally that's all there is. And I don't understand why they aren't giving more details. Why won't you list where she was last seen? Or
yeah.
I mean, there's nothing about whether she any has context. Family or kids or what she did for work. Or there's zero zip. And it's almost someone is pushing them to hey, why aren't you helping? They're we'll put out the bare minimum and then we can say we covered our bases a year later.
That's so fucked up.
Yeah. So very sad.
Thank you for sharing.
Yep.
Now tell me a good thing.
Good thing. Well, I am doing a photo shoot on Sunday for a brand called Turtle Fur, which is a cool hat balaclava company based out of Vermont. And it's a winter campaign and we are in full blown spring now. And so.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Thank God there is snow still up in the pass, by our house. Yeah. And so it's a kids campaign. So I've had to rally all these kids and families. And I think I've got a total of 18 kids participating.
Oh,
so it's
shit.
Yeah, I've had to
I didn't realize there was that many.
Yeah. Well, it's because I got a ton of families. Interest, a ton of people that were I want to do it. I want to do it. Because I posted on our local mom's Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
But it
and
was
you're send me a photo of your kid and I'll tell you if they're cute enough or not.
Right.
It's so awkward.
What was more awkward is that I'd get one person who responded who had I need a mixture of boys and girls in different age groups from 1 to 2 to 3 to 6 and then 7 to 12.
Yeah.
And so I'd get one family that had 2 kids that I needed and one I already had too much of. And then I'd get another. So it was just having to decide who to hurt the feelings of, really. but it was just really stressing me out. And I'm also trying to find models for a shoot I'm doing in Snohomish and trying to deal with that, which Haley's going to be a part of. But so I finally finished all that today. I did all my groundwork. It's done. The scheduling is done.
Yeah.
I found all my models. And so I can actually release
focus
that.
On doing the job.
Exactly.
That you,
not doing the project managing, but actually doing just the shooting, which is the part I want to do. So it feels really nice to have that done and not have to think about it anymore. Yeah. So
good for you.
What's your good thing?
My good thing is that we've been renovating our bathroom for a month.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel so bad that every person that has ever stayed with me has used our basement shower, which I didn't think was that bad because I never fucking use it. And now that's all I've been able to use for the last month. And I'm I am so sorry I've made people use this shower. It
I don't
sucks.
Think it was that bad.
It's like
well, but
so
I also
small.
Don't have a shower in my house.
So. That's true. You shut the fuck
it's
up.
Better
bitch. It's
than
a fucking
a bathtub.
Shower. Yeah. Well, you may be using it when you come visit.
Well,
no, just kidding.
I can't
We're
wait.
Have a shower down here by then.
Whatever's there.
So
I'll gladly use.
It's just our bath, our bathtub / shower upstairs in our main bathroom is non-standard size. So everything, it's just real fucking janky trying to fit things in there and make things work. But we've finally made progress.
Hell yeah.
There is a bath. There is a tub. We've got we've got a sink. We've got a counter. The
Amazing.
Hardest parts
it
are done.
Really good
and now
too.
It's just thank you. Now it's just busy work. We got to do drywalling and tiling. which I think will be time consuming, but not like as logistically difficult as yeah. the things that we've already done. So
good job.
Now I'm starting to see a light at the end of the tunnel.
Well, on that note, you should subscribe to this podcast because it's awesome.
Subscribe to this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Like us.
Subscribe, rate,
review. On the internet.
Follow us on Instagram, Easy Bake Coven Podcast. You know, tell your other podcast friends that they should listen to us and talk about us, how awesome we are.
And wait for the little tramp stamp Easter eggs, because if you can gather every tramp stamp referenced, we will send you a free sticker.
That's right. We will, gladly. You know what?
And I'll get a tramp stamp of your choosing.
If you just promise to put it somewhere cool, I'll send you a free sticker anyway. Let me know. I'll pop it in the mail with a stamp.
Whoa.
Boom. Easy. Easy Done. Bake Coven.
Easiest of the Easy Bake Covens.
Yes, because we need to get the word out. Stat.
There's like some urgency. Because we're not going to keep doing this for the next 17 years.
That's right. Unless there's something in or it for us. We? Yeah, we probably yeah. are. Probably will.
Bigfoot's schlong.
Penis. Oh, Lord.
Well, thanks for joining us on this adventure.
Yeah.
Please see you next week.
As always,
don't forget to keep it spooky
and make it sweet.
Happy hunting!